morning. Yesterday, we were talking with the women about bitterness and how we have to get this root out of our hearts. And many of us are hurt from different kinds of situations that came in our lives or from people, even in the church. But God, Lord Jesus, spoke a lot about forgiveness. And forgiveness is the way to pull this root of bitterness out of our hearts. But when you take something else, you have to replace it with something that is healthy, that is fresh, that is new. And the new thing that God has given us is His love. So this morning I would like to share with you about the love of God. If you have Bibles, or I don't know if you're going to show it, I would like us to read some verses from 1 John chapter 4, 15 to 21. It says, "Whoever declares that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he lives in God. And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in God lives, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. The purpose of love being made perfect in us is that we may have courage on judgment day. And we will have it because our life in the world is the same as Christ. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. So then, love has not been made perfect in the ones who fear, because fear has to do with punishment. We love because God first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates his brother, he is a liar, for he cannot love God whom he has not seen. If he does not love his brother whom he has seen, this then is the commandment that Christ gave us. He who loves God must love his brother also." I think the whole gospel is included in these verses. So, everything starts with a declaration of faith. The declaration that Jesus is the only way to heaven. This Easter, I sent some cards to friends, and I liked the one that said, "Only Jesus could unite heaven with earth with only two pieces of wood." I really like that, because it's the cross of Jesus that made the way so that we can go to heaven. And our relationship starts with God after we make this declaration. But you see, brothers and sisters, there are so many different kinds of Christians around us. And this depends on the relationship we have with God the Father. We become members of His family, but sometimes we don't act like sons and daughters, but we act as slaves or servants. And this morning I would like to make the distinguish, because it helped me a lot, and people in my country a lot, because many of our fellow citizens, they have in their mind a God who is very severe, who is very serious, and so they have to be like him. Otherwise, they are not okay with him, and they have to try hard in order to please him. You see, there are two kinds of relationships we can have with God. One is, if we consider that God is the master, when we say Lord, we have the picture of a master, and we are servants, but in fact, we consider ourselves slaves. So, what is the relationship between a servant, a slave, and his master? It's a relationship of fear. You see, the master has authority over his servants, and he demands things from them and he commands them to do things. So the servants fear the master, they try hard, they work with their flesh a lot in order to fulfill his commandments. This is the law relationship with God. And why do the servant react that way? Because they are afraid of punishment. You see, this chapter we read says all of that. That if we have fear, then we don't have perfect love. And that means that we have a servant-master relationship and we are afraid of punishment. On the other hand, there is the relationship that God wants us to have with him. When we declare our faith in Christ, then we become children of God and we belong to his family. And as I have seen, you Christians, at least in Norway, have nice families with many children. I really like that. And so pretty, pretty children. So, in the family, the relationship is different because the father loves his children. And even when he disciplines them, it's out of love that he disciplines them. Because he wants them to be perfect. The children, on the other hand, have confidence to the father. They go in his arms. They embrace each other. They play. They feel connected. They feel close. They know each other. And also, they have confidence and they have courage in order to stand before him. And at the end, children are the heirs of the father's blessings and goods. So you see the difference of the two relationships. What kind of relationship do we have with God? Is it a relationship based on fear and of works of the flesh? Or is it a relationship based on family love, on love and confidence and courage? And we are not afraid to be punished, but we know that we are heirs of our father's and our family's property. And afterwards, and in this way, our love, it says, is perfect. So now we will speak about the other. What comes out of that? And it says that God is the first loved us, and if we love God, we have to love our fellow brothers. Well, you know that love is a very misunderstanding and misunderstood meaning. Everybody speaks about love. Everybody, and in the world, in different kinds of clubs, they speak about love. But the kind of love that God demands from us is very, very different. Because it has a measure, and that measure is Christ himself and God himself. So, when we speak about the love relationship with our sisters and brothers in God's family, there are three levels of love. The first level is the neighbor love. And this is the old commandment. Even in Leviticus, it said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus repeated that commandment, and he said, the second most important commandment is like this. You must love your fellow man as yourself. So this is the old commandment about love. It has a measure, and this measure is ourselves. It means that I love the others around me as I love myself. So, I have to love myself first. I have to take care of myself first. And in the same way, I must wish the same for my neighbor. And that means that I must care for them and I must meet their needs. I have to do to them what I would like them to do to me. So, there is an example. If somebody near me is hungry, and I have a plate of food, or a sandwich, let's say, in order to love him as I love myself, I take half of my plate of food and I give it to him. Or I take half of my sandwich and I give it to him. So, I love myself, but I love him as well. Okay? That's the first commandment. In this old commandment, we also have to see something. It says, love your neighbor. It doesn't say, love your neighbors. What does that mean? That sometimes we feel guilty because there are so many people in need around us and we are not enough for their needs. But when God brings someone in our way who maybe is our neighbor or someone at our job or a friend or in church, then he is our neighbor. The other ones, God will provide someone else for them. And this is because we cannot tear ourselves out and break down. We have boundaries. So we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We cannot meet the needs of everybody. We wish we could. But if we help one or two people around us, then we are God's provision for them. Okay? That's the first level. The second level of love is love to the brothers. In John 13:35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another in the same way. So, the old commandment was the minimum degree of love. Now we have a new level of love, and this love does not have limits. This love is among the fellow brothers and sisters in the church. We have to remember that we are a family, and if you consider yourselves as parents or as brothers and sisters, you can understand what kind of love God demands for us. Because we care for our family. Our family is a part of ourselves. And it's the same with the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the members of our family. Can I say I love this hand more than I love the other hand? I cannot say that, because I need both. Can I say that I love my feet more than I love my head? I cannot say that because I'm a whole body, and everyone, every part of the body is precious to me. So we have to love our brothers as it says, as Jesus has loved us. And how has Jesus loved us? He didn't have the limit of loving himself, because we all know that he gave himself for us. So, this kind of love means that it's a love that costs. And this degree of love is the love that Jesus wants for the church, for the family of God, for the body of Christ. Let's give another example. In this kind of love, when I have a plate of food and my brother has none, it means that I will give him the one I have. And God would provide something else for me. Or I know that I have, that God has already provided for me something else. So, I give myself. I give my own self to the others. And we have to have this kind of attitude. We are not called to sacrifice ourselves every day for the others, but we are called to deny ourselves for the others. I think that you can understand the difference. We deny our rights, and this way we show our love, and we have the kind of love that God had for us. And then, at last but not least, and the main, it's the unity love. It's the love that the Holy Trinity is among the persons of the Holy Trinity. I would like to read from John chapter 17, 20 to 23. I do not pray only for them, for his disciples, he means, but I also pray for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one. Father, may they be in us, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I gave them the same glory you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be completely one, in order that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as you love me. And in 26 it says, I made you known to them, and I will continue to do so, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I also may be in them. I think this is one of the deepest meanings in the last words that Jesus said while he was on earth. He spoke about another kind of love, a very different kind of love, and this is the unity love. This is the love that is among the persons of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no competition among them. There is cooperation. We know that it is the Holy Trinity is three in one and one in three. And we really cannot understand it, and I'm glad we cannot understand it, because that means that we are man and he is God, and he is above us. So, the third degree of love goes beyond the Old and the New Commandment. It's the Trinity type of love, and it is the love for mature people. What does that mean? You know, there is a strange thing in those verses. It says that you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, and I am in them, and they will be in me, and we all will be one. How can that happen? We know from our maths that if something is larger, then the smaller thing goes inside the larger thing. So, how can the larger thing go back in the smaller thing? This cannot happen. But you see, it's spiritually. It's spiritual truths. Spiritually, I am in my brother, and my brother is in me. I am in my sister's heart, and she is in my heart. And our heart does not have boundaries. Our heart is God-given to us. So, we are in God's heart, God is in our hearts, Jesus is in our hearts, we are in one another's heart, and in this way, we are united. And to bring an example that really helped me a lot, and I really loved when I read it in a Christian book, it said that in order to understand this kind of love, God gave him a revelation, and he said, the Lord showed him a potato plant. And this potato plant, you know that it has different kinds of potatoes in the roots. So when you dig and you pull it out, you take these potatoes, you peel them, okay? Still, they come from the same plant, but they are different. They are individual. Each potato is itself. When you want to make food with them, then you boil them. You wash them and you boil them. And still, when they are boiled, they went through hot water, but still, each potato is separate. When you cut them to pieces, they start to lose their individuality. And they start becoming alike. But still, they may say, well, you and me, we belong to that potato. and you and you and you, we belong to the other one. But if you want to make mashed potatoes, you have to push all the potatoes and there is no individuality. They all become one. And in this way, they are useful for those who cook them and eat them. So this is the kind of love that God calls us to have, the unity love. It's not you and me, it's us. We have the same value in the eyes of our Father. You do not distinguish your children. Some of you have 4, 5, 6, 7, I've heard. And I believe that you don't say, well, he's like that, the other one, and the other one, I love this one, I don't love the other one. No. Each one has his own personality. But still, they are all yours. And you love them the same, and you want them to love each other the same. So this is the kind of love that God calls us to have between us. And just to make a small summary, God calls us to have a father-child relationship with Him. That means a perfect love relationship. That means that He loves us and He disciplines us. We love Him and we have courage and confidence to Him. On the other hand, He calls us to love one another. The love we should have to everybody. The first commandment is love to our neighbor. And this is the kind of love with good works that we show to people around us, to the community, to people in need. Then we have the love in the church, which is the love to one another, to our brothers. And this is a love that goes beyond the limits of the first love. And it means to give yourself, to give what you have to the others. And then it's unity love, that we all become one. One with our Trinity God and one with each other. And this is the kind of love we will have in heaven. Thank you.